As we pray, before we read the Word of God together and partake of the Word of God together, I want you to know that wrapped up in that prayer before the sermon is a lot of gratitude and thanksgiving that happened before this moment. I don't know about you, but after last week, I feel renewed, like there was a real sense of renewal that happened last week, and I'm very grateful for that. I often say I have the best seat in the house, because while we read the Word of God, I get to look at y'all. And I don't have a photographic memory, but I do about like a few things, and this is one of those that tonight when I go to bed, I can still see this. Like I can still see you and where you are sitting. And I've spent a lot of time this week just going through being able to see this and giving thanks for you. And this is a real moment of gratitude after this week. So there's that. And I know I'm way too effusive, and I know that Pat gets probably tired of me being so effusive, but In her magic with these PowerPoint slides, I told her this past week, I was like, eh, let's shift gears. Let's do Summer of Bread, and here's two ideas. And then this is what she comes up with. And it's just magic. It's just, it's so wonderful working with you about this. So thanks. You done it again. So we're grateful for you as a congregation too. Okay, let's pray, and then let's break open the Word of God. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your renewal. Thank you for working in our lives in ways that go beyond what we can ask or imagine. And we ask you to do that today as we break open your word for our lives and for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever had a meal that, after you've been eating for a while, you look down at your plate and feel like you've hardly made a dent in your food? What if God is serving us that kind of food today? Food of abundance and true bread of life. Right after Jesus feeds the 4,000 with just a little bread, which happens right after the 5,000, where he feeds people with just a little bread, right after these meals, something amazing and wonderful happens, which seems to be normal in the Gospel of Mark. Strange, wonderful, they all go together. Lately, I've been wondering about the storytelling of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, specifically the way that he begins with the parable of the sower who went around sowing seeds, and then how much Jesus winds up feeding people with bread. Bread that, when you think about it, begins with seeds. You have to plant wheat in order to get to the point where you have an actual loaf of bread. Jesus sows seeds, and then thousands of people later, he's feeding those very seeds that become baskets full of bread. If Jesus is about anything in the Gospel of Mark, his life and teaching seem pretty focused on the ways that God takes a little and somehow makes it into a whole lot. Do you have eyes to see that today? Ears to hear that today? Do you want to believe that God can take a little faith and multiply it into a life of abundant peace that passes understanding? That is what God is offering you today. But Jesus is asking us to participate, not to just sit on the sidelines and watch. Following Jesus is not a spectator event. Because the first thing Jesus asked his closest followers, right after the feeding of the 5,000 and then the feeding of the 4,000, was one very pointed question. Do you still not understand? So what about you today, sitting here today? Do you understand? And maybe even bigger than that, do you want to see? Are you ready to see? So open your eyes and see the word of the Lord from Mark 8, 22 through 26. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, Jesus asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Has God ever had to tell you something twice to get you to hear? Has God ever had to show you something more than once to get you to see, much less understand? Has God ever had to tell you something twice to get you to hear? Has God ever had to show you something more than once to get you to see, much less understand? You see what I did there? Saying the same thing twice. Did you know that this healing story of the blind man only appears in the Gospel of Mark? It's one of the only just Mark stories that we have. We need to see the story of the blind man at face value, but I think Mark wants us to see something deeper as he tells us this story. So the question is, what are we supposed to be seeing here? What do we need to see? What do we need to see? Right after Jesus, for a second time, multiplies bread, Jesus asks, "Do you still not understand?" And if I had been there with Jesus, I probably would have said, "Well, Jesus, what exactly is it that you want us to understand?" How about this? That the bread is not really about the bread, but the ways that God can expand our lives beyond what our limited beliefs and experiences reduce God to only what we have already seen. Because it's that first story after the bread that we really need to see. This is where it is most important for us to really pay attention. Immediately following the bread, the disciples did not understand. Is this blind man's story also about them? That the disciples could not see at all, but then they saw kind of blurry, not really understanding, but then at the hands of Jesus, they eventually saw clearly. You take this story about Jesus with one man, and one man who is completely blind, and Jesus touches him, and he couldn't quite see. And then Jesus touches him again, and he can see clearly. Now, it's probably no wonder that this story only shows up in the Gospel of Mark. Because possibly, if Matthew and Luke are using the Gospel of Mark to write their stories, they look at a story like this and say, what are we supposed to do with this? What do you mean Jesus only half healed someone? But take a look at your own life today. Take a look at our life together. Sometimes when Jesus brings healing, sometimes we still have a ways to go. Is this about bread? Is this about one blind man? Is it about disciples who follow Jesus around, and every time Jesus wants them to see, they look at each other and say, I don't get it. And then eventually, okay, can see it now. Could this be about us? What do we need to give up in order to see Jesus clearly, to see ourselves clearly, and to really follow Jesus? Today, as we begin our Summer of Bread, it's time to break bread together on this Sunday, today, not just in here as we share in the stories and promises of God, but to actually go down the hall and eat together. Like to actually put our feet under a table and spend time together and just eat together. And as we do, and I've been thinking about this all week as I've been looking at you in my mind and praying about us, thinking about last week and a few weeks ago with the feeding of the 5,000, if these stories are about the disciples and if these stories are about us, one thing that I can't get out of my mind, and I don't even want to, is what if we are the baskets full of bread? What if this is the way that God works? That when the end of these stories happen, that we are the baskets full of bread? This is not about bread. And it's not just about us. Let's open ourselves this summer to the Spirit of the living God, and then let God work among us beyond what we can ask or imagine. Amen.